Good afternoon, everyone. So I would like to thank our collaborators, especially Dr. Budi and Dr. Judge, that received me in the University of Florida, as well as my colleagues and advisors in Brazil, and CAPES, that's my funding agency, to be able to come here. So through this presentation, I'll give a brief introduction and motivation for this study, as well as the study area, data set, the methodology, the results and discussion summary, conclusions, and what we'll be working from now on. So reliable and timely agricultural production information is a critical information for ensuring food security. And sensors and surveys are usually the key factor for achieving this kind of statistics and information. However, as many know, it's very time and labor intensive. So we need to look for different ways to assess this problem. And we know also that remote sensing provides frequent data with a global coverage. And this kind of data can be used for agricultural productivity or yield estimations. So recently, for example, Fioza et al. Used microwave, visible, near-infrared, and medium-infrared from different satellites and artificial neural networks to do corn estimations in France. And this is a data-driven approach, and the satellite data is based on calendar dates that I'll address furthermore. Another example, Li et al. Used MODIS leaf area index and the CEDES model to do a data simulation in a crop grow model to estimate wheat yield in US, and this it's an integrated data and model approach, and also the leaf area index is based on calendar dates. Our last example is from Gusu et al. That used the MODIS EVI and some regression productivity model to estimate soybean production in Brazil. That's also a data-driven approach, and the EVI is based on calendar dates. I'm emphasizing this because calendar dates do not have a phenological meaning. This is a little drawback. We have the dates of acquisition that may not be exactly matched with the phenology. I'll show you a little more later. And another issue, that using all EVI available or tons and tons of data can provoke overfitting in machine learning. So the objective of this was to use this data to try to incorporate phenological information along with the EVI from MODIS, and using the regression random forest as a regression to estimate soybean yield in the state of Paraná, Brazil. Many might know Brazil is the second largest soybean producer, and Paraná accounts for 20% of it, and both Paraná and Brazil's productions are growing. And I would like to emphasize and stress here that this data was collected from FAO, and you can see that it was collected 2017. However, you don't have 2015, 2016 data readily available. That's due to time and the costs of surveys that took time to get readily available to public. Another point that we were using Paraná because I was there, so it was easier to collect some data. And on this sense, Paraná is about the same size of Nebraska, and our planting starts on it's from September to November, and the harvest is from January to April. And we collected data from 86 different commercial farms around the state. So this study was conducted during 2013-2014 season, And from the farmers, we obtain planting and harvesting dates, as well as the yield. And as a remote sensing, we used EVI, both platform, Terra and Aqua, during September 1 to April 15. And we used EVI, as many know, near infrared, red and blue bands with some adjustment, because end EVI tends to saturate. So we have this issue that we weren't, for our region, that's a problem. Very well, from that, this data, we incorporate the phenology and we call it a phenology-based EVI predictors that we apply to feature selection, recursive feature elimination, to obtain optimal predictors that were applied to the regression with random forest to obtain our crop yield. Parallel to that, we used the same regression, but jumping and skipping the feature selection. And also we did it straight from the MODIS EVI to see if what we're trying to do makes sense. And we're interested in more the regional, the whole state. So we want to averaging for the state. That's how usually our governmental companies do the reports. So we want to do that and compare to our reported or official data. Well, how we make this phenology-based EVI predictors? So it's clear that phenological dates may differ from the MODIS acquisition date. So we can have sowing date, peak date, or harvest date. They are not exactly in the day that we have the acquisition. And neighboring pixels may have different phenological dates. For as example, sowing date, peak of vegetative, and harvest, they are different pixel-wise and also may differ from the acquisition date. So I'll show example on how we created the EVI on the sowing date. So using the sowing date pixels, MODIS size 250 by 250, we had a sowing date from previous works and papers published. And the stack of the EVA data, we made an algorithm that would compare the sowing date with the date of acquisition and combine it in a new image that would be EVI on sowing date, that it's a combination of different images from the EVI. This same concept was applied to different phenological stages that we called. So 5 on sowing, 10 on peak, 12 on mid development, 4 to the entire cycle, and 5 around the harvest. So we come up with some dates that we thought that would be interesting to observe, and then we use the same process 36 times. Very well. From this, we apply the feature selection. That's a recursive feature elimination. That's backwards elimination. And from those phenology data, we split it. 70% training data that went to the recursive feature elimination, and we obtained 5 selected predictors. The way this works is we used 5 repetition with 10-fold cross-validation, and each predictor was ranked, and when you have the less number of predictions that would respond around at least 95% of the yield variations, then say, okay, those are the predictions that we consider the optimal, and end up to be the 5 of them, as I'll present to you now. So the first one, most important, was called what we called EVI 2 scenes before, the midpoint of development, 3 scenes after, the cycle length, the midpoint, 3 scenes before the midpoint, and 2 scenes after the vegetative peak. Many of you will may agree with this. Of course, the peak and around the reproductive cycle of soybeans, and as long as the cycle of the season length, it's important to yield. If you have problems in these points, you probably have problems on yield. From that, we apply the regression, the random forest. with the selected predictors, the random forest was applied, and 30% of the data was used to do some error assessments. And then we obtained the soybean yield for the whole state. We're more interested here in the running time and in the mean difference or mean error, because that's what we want to compare with the official data. So many may know the random forest is a classification tool, but it also can be used for regressions. And the principle is very similar. You have any randomized trees that will have their estimations, but when you do classification, you have voting, and you have the class that will end up. When you do regression, the same principle is applied, but instead of voting, the final prediction is the average soybean yield. In this case, it's the average of all predictions. So what happened when we did all this process? What kind of crop estimations we get? So we have a MODIS calendar with five selected phenology EVI predictors, and with all the predictors. So I want to point that the runtime for the algorithm was greatly reduced, and impressively using less predictors. It's a little bit counterintuitive. Using less predictors, we ended up having a little bit less of error. That's what we were aiming more. And with that one, we apply to the whole state and compare to official data. So this is our final, let's say, product with the yield from those five selected EVI phenology products. And this varies from 1100 kilograms per hectare to 4400 of kilograms per hectare. This is like a pixel based. And we have an estimated mean very, very close to what we observed in the farms. However, it's slightly overestimates with our official reports. Here I may say it's important to stress that these official data, they come from surveys from farmers, cooperatives, companies, and counties that may have some political influence to get these numbers. Remote sensing and machine learning techniques are powerful tools for yield estimations. And here we presented a novel method that includes some sort of way of phenological information in the EVI to estimate the crops. The predictions around the mid peak and the season length presented the optimal capabilities. And both the feature elimination and the random forest were used to obtain this yield, and estimated yield compared well with the observed. And for future works, we're planning to compare more or in different machine learning algorithms with similar paths and methodology to see what else we can understand from this kind of data. So thank you very much, and I'm open to questions. Yes, please.
You mentioned a brief discussion that you did go further into looking at issues associated with one area.
Can you speak a little bit higher?
Yes, yeah, so you've got five factors that you reduced to.
Yes.
That are all really driven, right? That are arguably highly correlated. And so you didn't speak much to the issues associated with linearity.
Right.
And overfitting.
Right. So the question was about overfitting, and since you have lots of predictions, you can have many of them pointing to the same direction. So instead of having many of them, you could have just one. That's kind of the idea. So as opposite of our previous speakers, that was the only thing that I have done to do it, and we didn't get to that point yet. We want to do some component analysis, principal component analysis, to see if we're just using a feature elimination just to, okay, this is the best, but are they pointing to the same direction? Then it would be obvious that some things may change. About the overfitting, we want to observe how other models will behave when applying several different predictors to see if we have actually overfitting. We have this concern, but on this one was not observed, so we didn't want to get into it because limited time and this kind of thing. I hope that answers the question.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for more questions. I think it's available and we can ask more questions.
Just easy questions.
We have a very short break and we'll be back at 3:10. Please just go long. Thank you again.
Thank you.